Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Continuing on our series of rundown, wide receiver, building backwards. So we're going to look at the later parts of the draft, sort of work our way up. I'm going to include more guys just for the conversational purposes. I think there's maybe, at cost, just a handful of guys outside the top 10, 12 rounds, really. I think probably once you get outside round 12, and Corey Davis is around this 12.12, right? He's literally the end of the 12th round. I think after you get past that, there's only a handful of target guys. There's quite a few target guys sort of in the range of, you know, 8th to 12th round, which we could probably talk about. That's probably a strategic landing spot if you want to sort of pivot. So again, this is sort of the micro, and then we'll do some macro stuff too here going forward on some team build stuff. So working backwards, 26-10, you got Randall Cobb. I think that could be interesting as potential wide receiver two if healthy. You know, you could see that happen. They're going to be down throw a lot. D-Jax, 25-11. You're getting Stafford. Again, the injury stuff's been bad. It has been kind of not necessarily like degenerative, right? He had the core muscle injury, it's kind of the hernia, sports hernia type deal that was going on there that basically wiped out a year of his stuff. So he's been injured, had some other stuff. Going to land with the Rams here. Stafford, McVay, crazier things have happened. Again, he's probably more of like a wide receiver three on his own team. Maybe a wide receiver, you know, a fourth or fifth target on his own team. But in the event of an injury, right, I think that's one that you're looking in this range, in the deep range. Typically, the guys that overperform in this range are guys that are pretty that have done it before, and that have a history of production. And so, what you'll see is they will, and you get this is particularly after you get to running backs, right? After you get through one injury away, running backs is sort of that's the archetype that you want to sort of hit on. So him and Cobb will sort of fit that. Some other guys here that I just think are notable mentions, but not necessarily huge target guys. Travis Fulgham, 25-06. You know, crazier things have happened. He was decent last year, then kind of fell out of favor. So we'll see sort of what happens there. Tyrell Williams, 23-10. Conceivably could lead his team in receiving outside the top 100 and outside the top 100 in wide receivers could be the leading the wide receiver for his team. I think it's probably a running back or tight end that ultimately leads them in total yardage. But yeah, he's there as well. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, number two, conceivably on the other side of Davante Adams. Interesting there. That's 23-06, 102 for his median wide receiver spot. Manuel Sanders, a 22nd round, 97 overall. I could see him, you know, if there's, he's probably more of like a wide receiver three on his team, but in the event of a Cole Beasley injury, he could absolutely be, you know, 6, 7, 8 target a game guy in a short sample size. We know he can play. That would sort of be the thing I would potentially watch there for him. Sammy Watkins, 21-11. AJ Green, 21-08. I think are both, you know, interesting. Hey, they've done some stuff in their career. I think AJ Green of the two is more interesting because I think ultimately with AJ Green, you're going to know kind of early. And this is a, you know, definitely a lotto ticket, more in the scratch-off type of lotto ticket realm, right? The lotto ticket of, hey, we need to wait for the big drawing and see the scratch off. You can do it immediately. And I think within a week, maybe a couple weeks, you'll kind of know with AJ Green what the deal is, right? Is he getting workload? Is he getting targets? Is he getting, you know, what's his yards per route run look like? What's his ADOT? What's all that stuff? You'll kind of get an idea, I think, pretty early on about what his relevance is going to be. Whereas a guy like Sammy Watkins, you know, it might be 80 targets over the course of a season, but you're not necessarily ever going to kind of know. I think with AJ Green, you're going to have an idea pretty soon whether or not he's viable. I think the most likely answer is he's not. But in the event that he is, that's an open wide receiver two spot on the other side of DeAndre Hopkins. So I'd be interested to watch that one for sure. That's a quick early reveal, I think, in that offense. 2106, we get to perhaps my favorite target sort of outside the top 12 rounds. John Brown, 2106, wide receiver 94. Yeah, give me all that. I think he could conceivably lead his wide receiving core in yards and receptions, and we're talking with the Raiders there in Vegas. So I think that's a really interesting one. You have a couple of guys unproven in front of him. We saw what Nelson Aguilar could do. I think he's a better version of Nelson Aguilar. So we've seen him be better than Nelson Aguilar. I don't even think that's a controversial statement. I think he's pretty valuable at that particular point. You know, I always say there's maybe like five or six guys I'm keen on outside the top 10 rounds. I think because of the structure of drafts this year, it's coming down a little bit. So it might be 12th round that I sort of feel good about that. This might be the topic of some bigger research, but I do think that some of the wide receiver targets, just I don't know if it's the structure of the position or sort of where other positions are falling, or theory that there's some suboptimal decisions that are going on sort of beforehand, sort of early on in ADP, which is actually making good profiles fall. So I think that's another thing there that we're sort of seeing with some of these guys. So that what I would consider usually 10th, 11th round, it's fallen a little bit later in terms of some guys that are pretty relevant. So that's some research I'll be doing here longer term, but I think that's a notable feature this year. I don't know if it's an overall trend or that's just sort of what's happening this year, but I think it's interesting. Quintez Cephas, 20th round, 20.11, 2011 is his ADP. I think that's an interesting one. Again, he could conceivably lead his team in receiving. At the receiving position, he could be the number one wide receiver on his team. Conceivably, he's going ahead of Tyrell Williams, which is probably not the right answer. But I do think Cephas is one you could potentially see as a target guy. 1905, another guy in Detroit, Breshad Perriman. So 80, he's there in the 80s in terms of his RDP. So again, that's basically the cheapest receiving core in the league there, and I think you can take a shot in that range and just say, you know, typically it's the guy that's done it before, but I think Cephas is one that maybe have a little bit more benefit from a value perspective. Again, none of these guys are super long-term holds, but Cephas is probably the one where I would say, listen, if I'm trying to flip a cash out, which one can do it? It's probably going to be Cephas, and I don't think it's going to be it's probably not going to be Tyrell Williams or Breshad Perriman pulling you back a second round rookie pick valuation. You could argue that happens with Cephas. So, he gets, 10, 12, 14 targets in the first couple weeks. Maybe he throws in a touchdown, couple, 150 yards, something like that. And all of a sudden, like, hey, what's this situation look like? And he could potentially be a value riser. It's a classic flip scenario. Josh Reynolds, 1804 at 78th at the position. Again, he could be a wide receiver too in Tennessee. I'm not sure how much that's ultimately worth, but that's interesting. KJ Hamler, 1802, 76.5. I think he's one. Is there an argument that situation could really break his way? I mean, we'll see with Judy. Wasn't great last year. I think he was probably better in some respects than people give him credit for. But that's one where I could say, Sutton's coming back from an injury. He's not necessarily locked in long term. Hamler could find himself in a situation where, like, wow, like that actually came around pretty quick for him. I think it's an unlikely outcome, but it wouldn't shock me if in 12 months we're sitting here being like, wow, Hamler was really a value. He's up big time. He's up, 6, 7, 8 rounds. And all of a sudden he's really, maybe not necessarily the leader of his team in terms of receptions or anything like that, but really an ascending type of asset. I think he's the type of player in that range that you could see a big uptick from. It's depressed pedigree. It's all that stuff. So I think he's an interesting one, and I kind of like the profile coming out of college. Jameson Crowder, 17-11. assuming he makes this team, I was reading today that he's a potential cut candidate. Assuming he makes the team, I think he's an interesting one from a just receptions, targets, you know, could see 100 targets in this range. That's one. He's not necessarily the one of the big five or six target guys in this, but I think there could be a spot where if he stays this cost, makes this team, and is sort of here in August, I think that's probably a target situation. Another target one, you know, he's one of the big ones that I'm targeting in this range. Marvin Jones, 16-11, 70.5 overall. At the wide receiver position, again, I think he could lead his team in receiving. I think he could actually lead his team in receiving, not just be the leading wide receiver on his team. So that's a notable one there in Jacksonville. Nelson Aguilar, again, we'll sort of see what that situation looks like. T.Y. Hilton, Cole Beasley all in the 16th round. I think you sort of look in that range and just say, all right, they're kind of vets that might help you. Again, probably not huge upside guys, but guys that have done it before. I think Beasley is probably underappreciated at this point in his career. I think there's a big teardrop after the 12th round, though. I think ultimately, you know, the guys sort of outside the 12th round that I'm interested in, Marvin Jones, John Brown, really are the bigger ones. Some other guys in there, I think, could be influential, especially if they fall a couple rounds, like Beasley or someone. If he was going 18th, 19th round, something like that, yeah, that might be one we could sort of plug in on. But I think at the 12th round, basically, if you go kind of 12th or 6th round, like, there's a ton to like in here. So sort of work through this a little bit. Again, at these depressed prices, it's really interesting. I think Corey Davis could, you know, he's sneaky potential to be, you know, he's like top 12 in terms of guaranteed money. I think that's really interesting. You know, could conceivably get 100 plus, 120 plus targets in that offense. Wouldn't surprise me much at all. We'll see with Elijah Moore and some of these other guys sort of how that all works. But he has been very good. He was very good last year. Just not huge in terms of the volume, not huge in terms of the fantasy production, but on a route run basis, I mean, way, way up there in terms of effectiveness. So he's one that I'm sort of looking at and saying, give me a guy that could potentially lead his team in receiving. Yes, absolutely. And give me a guy that is 53rd in RDP. Yes, I like it. Again, what's the ultimate upside with a rookie quarterback? We'll see how effective that offense can truly be with a rookie quarterback. But I think if you sort of, hey, they got to throw it 550 times, you know, all of a sudden, right, he's a 20-25% market share, somewhere in that range, all of a sudden you're looking at a guy that's absolutely in the wide receiver two type range. So that's one that I there's not a ton there, especially if Crowder gets cut. Like, there's not a ton of proven entities in that offense. He is the man. So that would be one that I'm really, really focused in on. Again, he's going two rounds later than Elijah Moore. And I struggle to see how Elijah Moore is going to be better than Corey Davis here in the near short term. Again, depending on the bets you want to make, I think there's other bets sort of in this range. I could do a whole show on just this range. But Kadarius Toney's in that range, probably not necessarily a target guy with the guys going around him. Michael Gallup in that range, again, probably not a target with the guys around him. But I think they're interesting, sort of, they're different types of longer term bets. Rager, I think, is an interesting analytics bet at 50.5. I think that's definitely interesting. He's going notably. I think this is a notable thing. He's going behind Henry Ruggs, and that's sort of totally flipped on its head from last year. He's going behind guys like Terrace Marshall. He's going behind guys like Elijah Moore from last year, from this year. You know, he's going behind Laviska Shenault. So again, you take sort of the deep pedigree discount on Rager. I think that cost, he's an interesting one. Again, depends on how you want to put your team together. But if he's like a wide receiver six, and that's kind of where you're going to cap it in terms of your positional stuff, that's not a bad spot to be in with him. Again, maybe he's not necessarily one of these guys that goes all the way back up above his pedigree, but you could say, I think there's plenty of reasons to say that last year he got dealt a crappy hand. And you know, some of his, where he's best, is not optimized where they, what they were doing last year. So I think he's definitely one you could say, all right, depending on the types of bet you want to make, he's one in that range that could be interesting. I think the exact opposite type of bet is Jarvis Landry, and they're going right next to each other at 12:06. They're going on basically on top of each other. And that's one where you're like, hey, this could be, again, 110, 120 target type situation. You could sort of lock in, you know, if it's low wide receiver two, maybe wide receiver three type production at that cost. I think that's a really interesting one. I think he's much more, his range of outcomes is much narrower, I think, than Rager, where you could see, you know, you could see multiple years of that type of production out of Rager. Landry's kind of on the decline. Again, I think we're probably betting against him a little bit too soon in terms of a steep decline. He was fine in efficiency last year, but I think you could potentially see maybe a value uptick out of a guy like Rager, where it's not probably going to happen for Jarvis Landry. He's probably within a pretty narrow range in terms of his trade value, in terms of his startup draft value. He's probably not going to be, you know, even if he has a really good year, he's not going to be much more than like an eighth or ninth round startup pick. That's probably the best you're looking for. So I think that those two guys are interesting types of bets you want to make. Marquise Brown, Ruggs, both in that range. I'm not super interested in either of them. I think another one that's interesting from a, hey, could, is going way after what he produced last year, is Robbie Anderson. Again, you could sort of say wide receiver one, wide receiver two on his own team. You know, we'll see with Darnold. That's not necessarily a bet I love making. But hey, listen, good offensive coordinator, all these things. You know, you could see a bounce back from Darnold. And if he bounces back, sort of who's the beneficiary? It's probably going to be Anderson, or it's going to be DJ Moore. I think either of those guys are pretty interesting. And especially Robbie Anderson, you're getting a pretty steep discount off a guy like DJ Moore. They were essentially the same last year. You know, I think that those types of things, when they happen, DJ Moore by reference, 505. And Robbie Anderson, I know he's older and he's got, you know, he's further along in his career, 11-12. Right. So when you sort of look at the difference there, that's an interesting, again, why I think that range is really interesting. Other guys in this range that are really compelling to me, Brandon Cooks coming off a top 20 finish. Will Fuller got top 10, top 20 for sure in his range of outcomes. Both of those, you know, question about quarterback sort of in this range generally, but either of those guys I think can really outproduce where their value is for sure. Other guys in this range, Rondale Moore, probably not particularly a huge target in this range. Curtis Samuel's one that's interesting, 10.09. He's going 42. Again, I'm not super sure. I'm going to go over my skis on that cost, but it's interesting if he slides a couple rounds, right? If he got him at 10.09 and you say, all right, listen, we're going to make him a target player in round 13, round 12. I think that's totally possible that you see a scenario like that. So keep those things in mind. You don't necessarily have to have these guys target players at their cost, but you say, hey, listen, if one or two of these guys slide a couple rounds, like that's kind of the target guy. I think that's all appropriate, especially for a lot of these guys in this range. Tyler Boyd also in this range, 10.09, right next to Curtis Samuel, both at 10.09, both at 42 in terms of their median, so they're essentially the same. I think it's a bet against a early on rookie development out of a guy like Jamar Chase. Are you expecting year one big time production? And if not, sort of what do you go with? Well, you kind of go with the guy that's done it for a while, and Boyd's kind of the big time discount Juju Smith-Schuster is sort of what he kind of looks like at this point. So I think he's an interesting one. Again, that's not a super uptick value type bat, but I do think it's a totally different, more of a floor play, kind of like a Jarvis Landry type bat. I think that's an interesting one. And if you sort of compare the two of them, I think Landry's got a better this year type of projection, and he's ultimately going a couple of rounds later than Tyler Boyd is. So I think that, you know, when you compare those two guys together, they look a little bit alike, and it kind of confirms what I've been thinking for a while now, which is Jarvis Landry's probably a target guy. Okay, keep going on there. Odell Beckham Jr., 9.12. It it's probably interesting, but I'm probably out at the cost right now. Just I think there's other options sort of in this range that can do different things, and I can trust them a little bit more. Laviska Shenault's in that range. Again, that should probably tank, I would imagine, if they're going to play Travis Etienne in that role. So I don't understand why they traded or why they drafted Travis Etienne to play the Laviska Shenault role, because Laviska Shenault probably plays the Laviska Shenault role better than Travis Etienne will, ultimately. But, you know, we'll see there. I'm surprised that Laviska Shenault's ADP is as high as it is. Tyler Lockett is a really interesting one. He's going just ahead of Bateman. Right? They're basically going on top of each other. Lockett's 904, Bateman's 905. Again, over the next couple of years, it's tough to see how Bateman can get to a level that Lockett can get to. When you sort of look at the tiers, you know, as you sort of combine these exercises, you get to the tiers aspect of it. You look at Lockett, and he fits in categories with guys that are going a lot more expensive. He looks a little bit like Robert Woods. He looks a little bit like Keenan Allen, like Devontae Adams, like a cheaper version of Devontae Adams. You sort of look at all of that, and you're saying, okay, he's going at a pretty steep discount. You're putting him against a rookie wide receiver who ultimately is probably capped in terms of some of the volume stuff. That's the big concern there with Bateman. Lockett, super efficient, you know, I think has a higher range of outcomes on his targets and all that sort of stuff. He's a pretty interesting one there. And again, extension in the offseason. So you sort of like to see those are positive indicators for a guy that's in his later 20s. Adam Thielen, big time touchdown year last year, and he's going at a pretty big discount because of Justin Jefferson. So he's one. Julio Jones, another one in that range. They're both going 8-11. So we're sort of getting into a little bit more expensive range. But again, if you're looking for, this is a range where if you're looking for production at wide receiver, you can find it in guys that are pretty cheap and that have a history of production, and that you can do a lot of different builds this year. If you want to go running back early, quarterback early, then running back mid rounds and sort of, or tight end, you can sort of, you know, and it's tight end premium, you can sort of build that out, and all of a sudden you've got like a lot of wide receivers to fall back on if you're sort of willing to make those bets. And then just say, listen, it's probably going to put you on a different arc with the wide receiver position. You're going to kind of be playing the veteran wide receiver game. You know, you get 4, 5, 6 of these guys, and you can mix them in some younger guys, hope to get some bounce or whatnot. But then it becomes a scenario where you're basically going to do, if you go that route, you're kind of going to play the Brandon Ayuk game. You're going to kind of do that type of thing where you're waiting on wide receiver and rookie drafts, and you're just trying to take the cheapest guy. Sort of, that's how you kind of build out your youth, build out your depth. You're kind of playing that game instead. I think it's totally an appropriate strategy. Depending on how you put this together, I think it's absolutely fine to do it. Maybe if you're going to do that, maybe get a little bit more volume at the position. And I think you can, that's not a bad thing to do at this particular, at this cost with these profiles, because they are productive profiles. You're not taking crummy bets, right? I think that's the thing. Maybe you have some risk there in terms of the age stuff and some of the decline features of these guys, but you're not necessarily taking hugely suboptimal, you know, developmental day two guys and taking 8 of them, right? You're taking guys that have been productive, and you're kind of aggregating some of them, and you just say, all right, listen, over the next couple years, if I take 6 of these bets, can I get 3, maybe 4 of them to be multi-year producers? I think that's totally, totally possible with these guys like Lockett, Thielen, Julio, Robert Woods, who's going at 805, you know, Landry, you know, Cooks, right? Robbie Anderson. You sort of do that same thing, you know, 3, 4, 5 times in this range, and I think that you can be totally fine. You might not necessarily hunt top 6 finishes, but you're probably going to be able to hunt 15 to 30 finishes from multiple of those guys. I think that's a really interesting way to go about it if you're shooting upside at other positions. DJ Shark's another guy that's interesting, sort of in that range, 807, wide receiver 31. I'd rather take a Marvin Jones type bet there But DJ Chark kind of arbitraged a little bit on a guy like Sutton, for example, who's going a little bit more expensive than him. Kenny Galladay going a little bit more expensive than him. So that's an interesting one there. Sutton at 801, probably a hard pass for me, wide receiver 25. Judy's going right there, 712. Wide receiver 24, also probably a hard pass. I think it's notable, like, if you sort of were to put a gap on that tier of guys that are, like, super productive or that have some production profile to them, maybe on a little bit older spectrum, you might look at 804 as being the top of that tier, and that's that's Cooper Kupp, and then Juju Smith-Schuster at 805, Robert Woods 805, and then Julio 811. And you sort of work from that tier, 804, to basically Corey Davis at 1212. I think that's a really interesting tier if you sort of want to hit that, two, three, four times. The problem is, again, some of the running back stuff, and we'll get to that in a future episode, that's going to be a really robust target range for running back. So again, if you can sort of trade back and sort of hit that range multiple times, trade up, right, sort of amass picks in that range, I think it's a really interesting play there for sure. And especially if you're going to trade out of some of the receiver stuff earlier on, you could sort of add multiple picks in that range. That's a pretty lucrative range this year and a way to do multiple things with. All right, so going up ahead of that, there's a pretty big avoid tier sort of in this range, and so I'll sort of avoid that. But I think basically anything like in the seventh round is pretty much an avoid stuff for me. I think you get up into the sixth round. I mean, in that seventh round, just to give you an idea, it's Devonta Smith, Higgins, Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Galladay, Waddle. Judy's in that range as well. I probably like him a little bit more than some of those other guys. But those are pretty clear avoid profiles at their cost. Then you sort of jump up another tier. This is a target, an additional target tier for me. That's Ayuk, Cooper, Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, Mike Evans. And they're going basically 509 to 609. So that's that sort of range there. So again, if you went two of those guys as wide receiver 1-2, backfilled with some of those other guys, and all of a sudden you got some really robust profiles in there, I think that's an interesting way to go about it. Up ahead of them is another tier of guys where you can say, there's like some warts there. And that's DJ Moore. McLaurin is interesting in terms of, I don't think there's a ton of warts, especially if you're going to discount the pedigree once you get to a couple of productive seasons. Again, maybe the upside's not quite as great. He could sort of fit that profile of guys that go a little bit too early for what their upside is. And then, you know, a couple of years down the line, everyone's discounting him, saying, he doesn't have upside, but he's kind of been exactly who he is, which is like a wide receiver too. Like, he could fit that Brandon Cooks type production profile where everyone sort of passes over it. That wouldn't shock me over the next couple of years if you just sort of plugged in, you know, mid wide receiver two, finishes the next couple of years and everyone's like, that's not very useful. Okay, that's fine. And it's going to drop him in cost, and then he's going to be a target player. I could definitely see that where he's at. Michael Thomas is an interesting one because I think he's got some higher end profile stuff to him. You know, he's basically on a Hall of Fame track and has a bad year last year via injury. I think that, you know, you could definitely make an argument that he has much more upside than where he's at. Hopkins, probably at the cost, I think I'd rather take other bets, right? So I'd rather take, at his cost, I'd rather take the Lockett bet plus, right? I'd rather take some of those other, Amari Cooper plus. I'd rather take Robert Woods plus. I think that's one where he's going to be a pivot guy that I'm going to work to pivot off of in a couple of spots where I got him. Calvin Ridley is interesting at 9. I think he's one of the ones, maybe if I was going to sort of play not the one of the elite wide receivers as a wide receiver 1, that'd probably be a starting point. You know, it's probably Ridley, Michael Thomas, and that's probably like a starting point for wide receiver 1. And then if I didn't do that, it's DJ Moore or down in the Amari Cooper range would sort of be where I would look to start if I wasn't going to go super early at the position. I'm avoiding Chase and Lamb where they're at. Diggs, I think, is interesting. You could definitely start there as a wide receiver 1. He's wide receiver 6 at 306. You could argue, and I think Football Guys has him as wide receiver 1 on the season projection right now. So I think there's plenty there to like. Adams is right there with him. Again, ultimately, is Diggs a little bit safer than Adams? I think he's a couple years younger. and you kind of know who his quarterback's going to be, whereas you don't know that with Adams right now. So if you're going to pick between the two right now, you know, maybe you in August, Rodgers is back, everyone's healthy, everyone's not upset at one another, you could say probably Adams over Diggs. But right now, if you're sort of making that bet, I think Diggs is probably the safer option. Then you go up ahead, it's Metcalf, it's Brown, it's Hill, it's Justin Jefferson. Yeah, I think Justin Jefferson's got the best argument to be the wide receiver, one of those young guys. You could make an argument for Hill or Adams or Diggs for that matter. I'd have probably all those guys ahead of A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. I just worry a little bit about the D.K. Metcalf and A.J. Brown sort of overall volume. I have a little bit of that concern. I don't really have that concern with Diggs, for example. Justin Jefferson's a big-time volume guy as well. So that's sort of the target in which I would do it. Again, if I was sort of to go to play kind of a super win now, maybe go early at the quarterback position, you sort of backfill, you get some of those higher end running backs in there, and then you and you sort of intersperse tight end if it's tight end premium, and then you can hit lots of wide receivers there in that 6th, 7th, 8th through 12th round type range. That's kind of the play that I would be. I think that's the optimal build this year. So I'll have running backs here coming up in the next episode, and then we'll sort of go over the next week or so, just put together some different builds to sort of see what they look like. So that's pretty much it. All right, for this episode, till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.